وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. لا سيما مولانا وسيدي صاحب الأسر والزمان روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء، وأجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف، ولعنة دائمة على أعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. We continue this evening in our discussion on Surat Al-Qalam, chapter number 68 of the Noble Quran. And today in discussion number 2, we want to continue and follow up in our discussion that we had in our previous sitting. You'll recall, for those who are here, in our previous discussion, we were looking at verse number 1. We looked at the introduction to Surat Al-Qalam, the occasion of revelation, a bit about it, about the merits of the recitation of this particular chapter. And then we looked at the letter Noon, the very first letter that begins this chapter. And we talked about the importance of the Huruf al-Muqatta'at, as we define them as being these disjointed or disconnected letters. Today I want to continue in the commentary and look at the rest of this first verse, where Allah says, وَالْقَلَمِ وَمَا يَسْتُرُونَ. So Allah says, and I swear by the pen and what it writes. Now, there are two points that I want to mention in this particular verse. One is about oath, about the qasam, about swearing by something. You know, in our usual day-to-day talk, we don't use oaths very often. I mean, it's used every now and then. For example, if somebody were to go to court, they would ask you to put your hand on the Bible, or maybe even in the Quran in today's day and age for Muslims, and the bailiff or somebody within the court system would ask you, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth? And you would swear, and you would take an oath by the book that you believe in. Sometimes in our day-to-day common talk, we also swear. You know, somebody will not swear as in vulgarity swear, but take an oath, I should say, because swearing has a few different connotations, but to take an oath. You know, sometimes we'll be talking to some friends or something will come up, and you'll say, I swear to God that this happened. I swear on my mother's grave that this happened. I swear on the Quran this happened. Or I swear on this plate of food in front of me that I'm telling the truth. What do these oaths mean? And do they even have any validity? Let me just look at that aspect before I go to the oaths by Allah. The status of an oath, usually when we take them in our life, is for us to be able to convey something to somebody who might not really believe us, right? We are telling the truth, you know, we're speaking the truth to somebody, but they don't believe us. So you'll say, I swear to God that this happened. Or I swear on my mother's grave, or I swear on my father's grave. From the religious perspective, from Islamic perspective, these oaths that we take have no validity in Islam. So somebody comes to you and they say, I swear on my mother's grave that this is what happened. They might be lying, maybe. Because Islamically, we are told that the only way an oath is recognized as an actual oath, as a qasam in Islamic law, is if it's taken on the name of Allah. And that can be in any language. It doesn't have to be necessarily in Arabic, by saying wallahi, for example. The scholars say you could say wallah or billah or tallahi as a way to take an oath. But you can say, for example, I swear to God that this happened. Qasam bar khuda, for example, in Persian. In English, you could say it in any language that conveys the name of God. And if a person were to take an oath on the name of God, obviously if it's a lie, they have committed a sin. And if it's truthful, it's makruh. It's not encouraged in Islam to take oaths. But what happens? Some people say, well, what if I've taken an oath? I said, wallahi, I'll do a certain action. If something happens, I'll do something in return. We have to realize that when you take an oath, again, it has to be on the name of Allah, that oath becomes binding on the individual. Obviously, you have to swear and you take the oath, not on that you will do something haram. You can't say, I swear to God if this happens, I'll drink a 40 ounce, or I'll smoke a marijuana joint, or I'll beat somebody up. Those kind of oaths are not valid in Islam. But if you were to say, I swear to God, if this and this happens, then I'm going to give $100 in charity. If this and this happens, I'm going to, I don't know, do something. I'm going to buy my wife a diamond ring, for example. Inshallah, hopefully we'll take that kind of an oath and we'll buy our wife a nice diamond ring. If that oath were taken in that way, the Muslim has to fulfill that oath. And if you don't, the penalty is very difficult to fulfill. You have to free a slave, which as we know in our day is not practical. Or you feed 60 people. Or you give clothing to 60 people. You clothe, give enough clothing to cover 60 people. So you can realize that can cost hundreds, maybe more than that diamond ring you promised. Maybe that's what the oath may cost. So taking an oath in Islam is not an easy, light matter. We have to be very careful. Sometimes you go to the Muslim countries, the so-called Muslim world, and you go to buy a pound of grapes or some oranges, and the guy will be, wallahi, these are fresh oranges. Wallah, these are fresh. Wallah, in the Arab world, this wallah is used every other word, every other sentence, they swear by Allah. But really, if they knew the meaning of that sentence, and if they're actually lying about what they're saying, then their sins are multiplying, because to take an oath by Allah's name is not an easy thing to do. And so we as believers, first and foremost, have to be careful what words we use. If we take an oath, first of all, we shouldn't take an oath. As a community, as believers, this means that when I tell somebody something, they should have enough trust in me that I don't have to take an oath. I shouldn't have to say, wallahi, I'm going to help you. Wallah, I was busy yesterday. I couldn't make it to your house. We should be at a level of believers that we can say, I'm sorry, I couldn't make it. Something came up. And we can accept that we don't have to use the qasam. We don't have to use that oath within our day-to-day conversations. But what about Allah? Right? The example I gave is with us. Why would Allah take an oath? وَالْقَلَمِ وَمَا يَسْتُرُونَ Why would Allah swear by the pen and what the pen writes? Allah would never lie to us. Allah says, وَمَا أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا Who is more truthful in Allah, in speaking than Allah? Allah would not lie to you and I. Allah doesn't, change his opinion. Allah won't promise something today and then change his mind tomorrow. So why do we see that Allah takes oaths in the Quran? We see in this surah he does it, Surah Al-Asr, Wal Asr innal insana lafi khusr. In Surah Shams we see it, 11 qasams, wa shamsi wa duhaha, wal qamri idha talaha, wal layli idha yagshaha, wal nahari idha jallaha, wal sama'i wa ma banaha, wal ardi wa ma tahaha. All of these oaths are within the Quran. Hundreds of times Allah takes an oath. If he's our creator, he's not going to lie. Why would he bother taking an oath? So scholars give us three different opinions of why Allah would even bother taking an oath. One is for emphasis, to get a point driven to you and I that what he's telling us needs to be very carefully considered, to elucidate upon something extremely important. Right? Allah will take an oath to show you and I that what he's about to say has so much importance that he will take an oath, although he doesn't have to. He could have just said, oh humanity, I'm telling you this, so believe it. But he does that to emphasize to you and I what he's about to say is of grave importance. Sometimes we're told that he takes an oath to show the importance of the thing which he is taking the oath by. So here he takes an oath by the pen and what the pen writes to show us the importance of the pen. And I'll go into what this pen means. He takes an oath by the fig, by the olive. He takes an oath by the night, by the day, by the stars, by the sun, by the moon. Because these are important things in creation. Nobody can doubt the sun and its importance. Without the sun, life would not exist on earth. Without the moon, we would not be able to live on earth. Figs, olives, all of these things have benefit to humanity. So when Allah takes an oath at this level, it's because he's showing us the importance of what he's taking the oath by. And sometimes he does it to explain something, to convey the reality about something that we doubt, right? We doubt about the day of judgment. We doubt a lot of things. We as in humanity,
We doubt a lot of things. Even Muslims, we don't always fully have conviction in everything that Allah says. And so sometimes He'll take an oath to show that, you know what, you doubt about this. If you believe that I'm God, I'll take an oath just to show you how truthful I am. He doesn't have to do it. Allah didn't have to go that route. But to show you and I the importance, to emphasize, to bring home a point, He will sometimes take these oaths in the Quran. And obviously He doesn't lie, so whatever He says after the oath is something that we need to reflect upon and realize the importance and the gravity of what Allah is conveying to us. So this is about the oath, because Allah starts it where He says, وَالْقَلَمِ وَمَا يَسْتُرُونَ. Now maybe you're wondering, where does the oath come in that verse? There was no word that said, I swear, or I take an oath. But that wow that you saw, it says, Noon wal qalami wama yasturun. That wow in Arabic has multiple meanings. Maybe 15 meanings the letter wow has in Arabic, one letter. And one of them, obviously we know, is to join two things. So for example, I saw Ali and Hassan. And is one meaning of wow. But another meaning of wow is to take an oath. And that wow itself, that one letter, because it can have multiple meanings in Arabic, one of the meanings is to swear or to take an oath on something. So this is where we see that the oath is coming in, وَالْقَلَمِ وَمَا يَسْتُرُونَ. The second point I want to mention is about this issue where Allah says the pen and what it writes. Why would Allah take an oath by the pen? Now, today we don't use pens, or you know, we use digital pens. We have tablets where we write on the tablet with a digital pen. We don't necessarily use pen and ink as we did back in the day. You know, even today, a lot of children who are going to public school, you know, they do more writing on their computers, on their Chromebooks and laptops and tablets, more than they do with a pen and paper. You know, and so, you know, Allah is, and don't limit it only to the physical pen. Allah is using the pen as a metaphor for any form of communication. And today, when we look at the pen, it can be expanded to the internet. It can be expanded to mass media, social media, internet, the satellite, the newsprint, the media. All of these things can be encapsulated in the meaning of the pen. And today, we see the importance of this medium, right? Whether it's the pen, the digital pen, the analog pen, how this has the ability to change and to shape public opinion. Nobody can doubt that before the internet, and the internet is very young, maximum 20 years we've had the internet as a public phenomenon. For those who were in university 25, 30 years ago, there was a very crude, archaic form of the internet, text-based, no graphics, no motion pictures, no videos, no audio. But in these last years, the way the internet has changed the world, it has made it, yes, at one level, a much better world to live in, because we can communicate with people around the world. We can get news and information happening around the world instantaneously. Right? No longer do we have to put a stamp or write a letter, put it in an envelope, put a stamp on the envelope, put it in a mailbox, and then wait for the mailman to come. And then a month later, the mail will be delivered in the destination. And then on the other end, that same process would go through again. Today, literally instantaneously, you can be here in Edmonton, and you can be watching people doing ziyarat live in Karbala. You can be talking to a friend who's making umrah immediately as they're doing the tawaf. Right? This is unprecedented in human history. 25 years ago, this was not even a reality. Before mobile phones and all of this, we had to be physically at home, and that person in Hajj would have to be in their hotel trying to get a connection back to North America to make a phone call. The point is that media, the pen, all the forms of communication have changed the way that the world looks at one another. And the same technology that has so much benefit to it, the same technology that you and I make use of in positive ways, we know that it has so many detrimental outcomes to it. The same internet that you can, you know, talk to your family members on the other side of the world, you can commit crimes with that same internet. You know, the same technology that has many, many benefits, It can also have many, many harms for the soul of the individual. And not only that, but we see that the world around us has realized the power of media. Unfortunately, as a community, as Muslims, globally, we still have to realize, we still have a way to go to realize the power of media, right? We still don't have people within our community who are taking, for example, courses in journalism. We don't have that. We only have maybe a handful of young men and women in North America, in the English-speaking world, who are into journalism, who you'll see on television. Very few. Men, there are a few. Women, there are even less. And women who wear hijab are even fewer in number on the mainstream, you know, news and TV stations. And so we obviously have a long way to go to realize the usage and the power that is within this media that is available to us for a very, very, you know, nominal cost. But as I said, that the world and governments have made the use of the media, and they've not only used it, but they've abused media in very negative ways. I'll give you just one example. The American government has a Department of Psychological Operations, what they call the PSYOPs. And you can look at this online. This is not some, you know, conspiracy theory. This is a reality. You know, and I'm sure Canada has an equivalent, but the American government has an entire department devoted to psychological operations because they realize you cannot bomb people into submission. You can bomb a few people here and there in Afghanistan. You can maybe kill a few members of the Taliban. You can kill some Al-Qaeda operatives in Iraq, in Syria, in these regions. But in order for them to control the people, they have to control the mind. They have to control the thought process of the people. And this is used on so many different levels. Whether you look at television today, what our children are watching on television, the filth that's on television, this is a psychological operation. Internet is no different. Parents that give their children their iPads and technology and just let them run wild on them. And, you know, they give them free access to Wi-Fi at home without any kind of filters. And they go and do what they want to do and see what they want to see. This is all of that information that's on there. Maybe some of it is, you know, people who are doing what they want to do. But much of it is psychological operations, whether it's Hollywood implanting what they are being paid to by the CIA to put into the minds of our children. They don't make movies like Black Hawk Down just out of the love of it. No, they're paid by the American government. They receive support from the American military. And video games are no different. All of these video games that our children play, where they're playing as an American soldier, going into Afghanistan, killing Muslims, these aren't just innocent games. These are planned by these companies. These are psyops to get us to become desensitized. Because we see it on television, and now we play the video game. We're playing as an American soldier, shooting innocent Muslims, or even non-Muslims for that matter. So American government has actually a department called the Department of Psychological Operations. And their logo is clear: persuade, change, and influence. And if you look at what their goal is, as it says, that the psychological operations are planned operations to convey selected information and indicators to audiences to influence their emotions, their motives, and objective reasoning, and ultimately the behavior of governments, organizations, groups, and individuals. So all of this is not just by fluke what's happening. When Allah says, I swear by the pen and what the pen writes, I swear by media and the way it can corrupt the people, I swear by mass media and the internet and the way it can change public perception, this is not just some fluke, random chance that happened. This is a planned operation to change our minds. Right? It's no different when you walk into any establishment and you see ads which promote lifestyles which are completely against Islam or against any Abrahamic religion. And I don't want to go into the examples, but there are ads you see on the television, in the banks, in the shopping centers, which promote such a life of promiscuity, of freedom to do as you wish. These are all there to change our perception, to make it seem that all of these things are normal and well. Whereas we have the Quran, which as we looked at even the other day, is the Furqan, The Quran for you and I should be the indicator of what is right and what is wrong. Not what we see in Hollywood, what they pump out. Not the video games, not what is on television. Right? And these are all, again, planned by some agency in most cases to desensitize humanity on a whole, but Muslims specifically when it comes to targeted attacks against our community, to desensitize us, to make us go into their camp, to think like how they want us to think. So when Allah says that I swear by the pen and what the pen writes, it's important to think about that. Why does Allah take this oath? Why the pen? Right? Why not anything else he could have taken an oath by? We end with two last points. One is a quote from the late Al-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz, known as Malcolm X, where he has a very powerful quote. And this is something he said over 50 years ago. So that's not something new. He spoke this way before the internet existed, way before Hollywood was pumping out movies left, right, and center. He says that the media is the most powerful entity on earth. They have the power to make the innocent guilty and to make the guilty innocent. And that's power, because they control the minds of the masses. And that is such a reality. If you think about it, we come to the religious center, to the Husseiniya. At most, we hear 1 hour of lectures a week. If we come to Jummah, 20 minutes. On a Thursday night, maybe 30 minutes, maybe 40 minutes at max. An hour a week maximum, we were exposed to religious teachings. If we don't go online and watch on satellite and YouTube and what have you. But how many hours do we and our children spend in front of the television? Right? I know people whose kids, 4 hours a day, they're in front of TV. They come home from school, they're having their late lunch or early dinner, they're having tea, they're eating lunch, watching television. Right? Every point of the day, before at breakfast time, they're on the table watching TV. They come home from school, they're watching TV. In the evening, they're on their gadget, they're on their tablet, or whatever their parents have given them. Hours a day, maybe 3-4 hours a day, 30 hours a week watching filth, playing games which have no purpose in life. But yet when it comes to religion, 1 hour is too much. You come to the Thursday night program, if Maulana goes more than 35 minutes, people become a bit fidgety. But yet we can watch 4 hours of movie at home, and that's not a problem. And being inundated and being confused by negative messages that the media sends. Let me end with last 2 points and we'll conclude for tonight. 2 things to think about that Allah mentions in this verse. Again, the verse is, وَالْقَلَمِ وَمَا يَسْتُرُونَ. I swear by the pen and what the pen writes. Allah takes an oath by the pen and what it writes, but not necessarily the speaker and what he says. Speakers speak. Our words are lost. I mean, they're on the internet today, but who's got time to watch? You know, when every minute of the day, I think the statistic I read the other day was every minute, 300 hours of video content is uploaded to YouTube. Every minute. In 1 minute, 60 seconds, 300 hours of video is uploaded to YouTube. So it gets lost in those billions of hours that are uploaded every day onto YouTube, and forget about all the other video sharing sites online. But when scholars write, their words last forever. Today, maybe a lecture isn't recorded, or maybe it's lost, but books, when a book is available, you can go to libraries today, and there are books that are written 300, 400, 500 years ago. But you go and say, well, where was a lecture that Aristotle delivered? Where was the lecture of any other philosopher or a religious scholar? Those lectures are gone. They were delivered. The words have now been, just disintegrated into the air. But books, words last forever. So if we take walqalami to be the literal meaning, words last forever. Right? They stand the time. That's why libraries exist with books that have been written thousands of years ago. Last but not least is that people and nations cannot be bombed into submission alone. You cannot bomb an entire country into submission. However, and we see that there's always a cultural element involved, is that if you want to destroy a nation, you use false propaganda. You use what people call fake news. You use words. You convey thoughts and ideologies to people. And you can get them to submit that they, in a way they would never submit were they just to be threatened by death. And so as we close, we realize the importance, hopefully, of the pen. Keep in mind, especially for our children and also for the adults who are here tonight, all of us need to be careful of what we look at online, of what we give our time to, what we listen to, what we look at. We have to be careful of these things. And especially for our children, we can't let them just run wild with technology, give them free Wi-Fi access at home or in the shopping centers or even at schools, because yes, they're innocent, but they're also inquisitive. And they're this inquisitive nature which Allah has put within us, this quest to learn, to gain knowledge, it can unfortunately be used in negative ways. And so we have to be as a community, as parents, as elders, we have to be careful what our children are looking at, what they're listening to. When Allah says in the Quran, فَلْيَنْذُرُ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ تَعَامِهِ, let each person look to their food. The sixth Imam would say that the food in this verse refers to your knowledge, what you're getting and where you're getting it from. And if we're not careful where our kids get their knowledge from and what they're taking in, then obviously we risk that loss of that generation where they have, leave their religion, they become astray, they go to another path. And God forbid they become even worse than leaving the path. We close and we ask Allah as we end this session that He gives us all the ability in this month of Ramadan to read of His noble book, and that we are able to understand the realities that Allah has laid out for us within the noble Quran. We ask Allah to give us all of the ability as we continue this month of Ramadan to fast during the days, to be able to stand for worship in the night, to read the Quran with understanding, with reflection, and to implement what we read within the Quran in our day-to-day life. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. For the thawab of all of the deceased, from our families, our communities, our friends, the ulama, the shuhada. Surah Mubarakatul Fatiha, but before that, one salawat upon Muhammad.